Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, it's Lena Dunham. I host a podcast called The C Word with my dearest friend and historian of bad behavior, Alyssa Bennett.
What is up?
It's a chat show about women whose society is called crazy.
We're going to be rediscovering the stories of women society dismissed by calling them mad, sad, or just plain bad.
Listen to and follow The C Word with Lena Dunham and Alyssa Bennett, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
1-0 pitch. Swing and a fly ball. Left field and deep. A Rosarena turns. Gone! A Springer dinger!
Celebrate Toronto. All of Canada, really. You are back in the World Series to face the Dodgers now. Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. And wow, I mean, 30 plus years in the making, and Toronto gets their moment last night. Now they're going to be significant underdogs, Pearl, against the Dodgers, but that's all for another day as they celebrate being not only, down in this game 3-1, but down in the series. They're the first team ever in an ALCS to lose the first two games at home. They were also down 3-2 later in the series. They come back and win. Just a really, really impressive stuff from a team that certainly has its stars, but also has its fair share of no-names, cast-offs, and guys you can get behind.
I mean, let's face it, it was two teams that fit the same mold last night. That if you are neutral, you could root for either of them. It sucks for Seattle fans right now. I feel so bad. Been there, trust me, seen Blue Jays home runs that crushed my Phillies. But yeah, this of the two teams, this is by far the lovable one to make it to the World Series.
Certainly. I mean, because of the Dodgers' payroll and just the fact that they're reigning champs and how much success they've had, it's clearly a David versus Goliath thing that we got going on, even though Toronto has this paltry $280 million payroll.
Yeah,
how do they How do they survive?
They threw together this team with 230. What was it, 230?
280. Yeah.
Jeez.
Yeah, 280 payroll, but Dodgers well over 400. So there you go. Here's a little of what it sounded like last night. The winning side with Brian Wu. I'm sorry, the losing side. Oh, let's go to that first. Okay, then we'll go to the winners. Here, this is Brian Wu. So was pulled in this game in a controversial way by manager Dan Wilson. Let's hear what it sounded like in the clubhouse.
Gone is further than any other team in franchise history.
Legacy is no one's really satisfied or happy with this, I think.
It's heartbreaking. You know, I mean, that was a Mariners player, we're told, in the background just screaming in anger. I don't know who, but, you work so hard, you get to within, two innings of going to your first ever World Series.
Manny's laughing at their pain.
I'm sorry.
That was courtesy of Fox Sports 1. I think it's probably Julio Rodriguez, if I were to guess who was the person screaming in the background.
Ooh, should we try to identify it again?
Could have been Cal Raleigh. We need some kind of voice expert on that. But listen, both guys have every right to be extremely frustrated. First of all, Julio Rodriguez and Cal Raleigh both homered in this game, helped them take a 3-1 lead. And then it was Julio Rodriguez, Pearl, who gutted it out by taking a ball off of his shin earlier in the game, but then rebounded to hit a homer. He's the final out. You got Cal Raleigh on deck. And Julio Rodriguez started swinging at everything.
Yeah.
And he fanned a 3-2 pitch after getting ahead in the count. And I think the nerves just got the better of him. I really do. And you can understand in that moment why it would. But that was tough. And to leave Cal Raleigh, who hit 60 home runs in the regular season and just hit 3 in the postseason, to leave him on the on-deck circle is something that Mariners fans are going to have to live with. Yes.
Maggie, according to Fox 13 sports director Adam Levine, it was Julio Rodriguez, a player who screamed.
I nailed it.
There you go.
And the other, obviously, very controversial decision. Oh, that is pure pain. And now you got to live with it all offseason. I could never be a baseball player. I can't deal without much failure. But the other part of this is the decision to pitch to George Springer at all. So Springer is the hero, Pearl. He's the one who hits the 3-run home run in the bottom of the 7th inning. But there was first base open. You had one out. Second and third base were occupied. However, with that first base open, could you have walked Springer, and then you've got Nathan Lucas next? So they're probably thinking, get Springer out and then face Lucas so you don't have to face Vlad Guerrero Jr. Yeah. It's a question for the manager that's going to be scrutinized over and over again. I thought it was a mistake at the moment, but maybe the mistake really wasn't just, you know, wasn't not walking George Springer to load the bases. Maybe the mistake was pitching to George Springer in that moment. Maybe you can get him to chase. Fastballs down the middle.
I'm not sure it's a no-brainer that you would have walked George Springer. There was one out, and that you're in the deadly part of the lineup. The more batters you face, the more problems, more runners on base. If it's a bases loaded, then you have no, say it's a 3-2 count, then you have no leeway. You got to throw a strike. I just feel like you're safer to have that open base and pitch to him. I was mad. The big strategic mistake was, why are you sack butting in that situation for the Blue Jays? They gave away the only out. By the way, and the Blue Jays just were, at that point, making contact. Like, they were, their offense was starting to pick up. They should have came away with more runs in that inning because they were hitting the ball hard. I'm not sure that in that situation you put on Springer, you don't think that the rest of that Blue Jays lineup, the next play was a hit, by the way. You might have ended up going down 5 or 6-3. And it was 4-3, and you got Raleigh sitting there. You're right. Like, all you need is one solo home run. I'm saying the Mariners, if you're down 4-3, you don't think the game is over because you have all this power in your lineup. So I just think that they wanted to avoid the massive, massive inning. Unfortunately, you're right. They did pitch to Springer. They should have known this guy is clutch for a decade.
Well, yeah, I mean, 20-plus postseason home runs. The guy's a champion. And then you heard the scream there, the primal scream from Julio Rodriguez. Can we hear from Dan Wilson? So, obviously, the other decision that's being scrutinized was you had Brian Wu, who was pitching for the Mariners. He gets pulled after Andrés Giménez had put down that sacrifice bunt to bring in Bizardo. Here is the manager, Dan Wilson, on taking Wu out.
You make your decisions. And you have to live and die with it. And I think again, the way Zardo has thrown the ball all season long, we were comfortable with where we were. And it just didn't go our way.
Tough spot to bring in a relief pitcher, though. I mean, woof. That is tough. You got second and third, one out, and George Springer up to bat.
I thought Joe Davis was on the money when he said that Munoz needed to be ready. That was my issue. I didn't have a huge issue with pitching to Springer, but you got to pitch to him with your best gun in the bullpen. Wu looked like he was kind of, I don't know, tiring or whatever, but he looked like he was being less effective, so I get pulling him. But to me, you had one of the best closers in the game. This is not 1995. It's 2025. We all know that you need your closer to get the most important outs when it comes to postseason baseball. If that's the 7th inning, that's the 5th inning, whatever it is, you got to have him ready. And he just didn't. I think he fell asleep at the wheel. You got to have Munoz in that spot, face Springer, and potentially Vlad down the stretch.
The high leverage situations, what you're
exactly
talking about. This is why I think the Mariners, not only are you sick about what happened in a game 7 with all the opportunities, but I'm asking, are they a hard luck franchise? I think it fits the bill. You know, it's a team that, you know, does not have postseason success, has found creative ways to lose, has also get their hearts ripped out, and their fans.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like there's a different vibe in Seattle. Like you mentioned, the Cleveland Browns, that's a hard luck franchise. Yeah, no, it stinks that they haven't gotten to the World Series. But it doesn't feel like there's so much negative energy around them. Like, yeah, like, I don't know. Fans seem to love them. The but Browns and Lions and Bengals and Clippers, like, they're hard luck franchises. I do not put the Mariners in that conversation at all.
Okay, but maybe that's a blind spot on your end, because at one point they did hold the longest record for North American team sports as far as playoff droughts.
Yeah.
Like, that was not that long ago. They broke that drought in, what, 2022?
Yeah, no, I mean, I'd love to hear from Seattle. It just doesn't feel like the disappointment level is the same. I mean, this week it is, but generally over the years, I don't feel like Mariners fans have the heartbreak of some other major franchises.
Oof, I don't know.
I mean, when did they ever have heartbreak?
Well, they had an all-time team. They've had all this incredible talent that's come through there. They've never been able to make it to a World Series. I mean, part of it, it's not just losing, like, in the World Series that can be heartbreaking. Yeah. It's also watching these guys go out the door and walk into the Hall of Fame and never being able to get the best out of them. They got the best out of them, but as far as, like, a team win.
You're going back to 98 or whatever you're saying.
Yeah, 01? We don't have to go back. Well, I guess now that's... kind of a long time ago.
Yeah, but they reinvented that team immediately after Griffey and A-Rod left with Ichiro and won 116 games.
And so, they missed the playoffs for another two decades.
Yeah, yeah, I don't know. To Jack.
A little blind spot in there. I'm not sure what happened between 0-1.
Very interesting thing. A celebrity fan last night of the Mariners pulled an interesting move. We'll get to that in one moment. But Ramon is in Indianapolis. Razor Ramon, who you got in the World Series, pal?
Good morning, everybody, and I'm down for new teams winning. I'd like to see Toronto go ahead and hoist it. The Dodgers, they're going to be right back there again. There's no guarantee for Toronto, so I'd like to see a new team Toronto. Same thing in the football. I want to see something new. Even if that's why I'm asking guys now, who do you think going to win the AFC? We keep reading. I heard a lot of bad press against the coach yesterday on a evening radio show. And I'm like, okay, they haven't beaten anybody. Enough. Okay, the AFC is wide open. Now, if you look at the NFC, you know, Philadelphia showed their muscle back again, and Detroit's right there. So if you want to call them, maybe Frisco will get back like they are. So, you know, you're going to have those three teams to deal with. But in the AFC, to me, yeah, Kansas City's kind of finding a footing, but they still haven't stopped anybody yet, as far as I'm concerned. I think the Colts got a right chance.
Yeah.
And they're not getting any respect. And so I just want to know what you guys thought about that. 6-1 is 6-1. You are what your record says. Isn't that what the famous statement says? So I just think it's wide open. I'd like to see new teams. I hope Toronto goes ahead and finishes it off. What do you guys think about it? Thanks.
Ramon, thank you. Go ahead, bro. What
do you think? I mean, come on. You're telling me Daniel Jones is going to be Patrick Mahomes in a playoff game, Ramon? Come on.
I don't see it, but I do want to acknowledge something, that last night's Houston Texans loss was actually a really big deal, I think, for Indianapolis, because – you know, Pearl, we're looking at a couple 2-5 teams. Well, excuse me, 1-5 and a 2-5. Houston, I'm getting this wrong. Houston is 2-4. Pardon me, I forgot they had their bye. And Baltimore is 1-5. And there's a lot of people, including Peter King, one of the greatest NFL writers and pundits in America, who thinks the Ravens are live to come back and win a wild card spot. I would have thought the same thing about Houston. Their defense is so good. Four takeaways last night, okay? And their offense is so putrid that it could not get anything going against, granted, a good Seattle defense last night. But this was great for the Colts because the Jags look very shaky. And I thought Houston could, I still think there's an outside chance they could mount a comeback, but they have to do something at the deadline to get a wide receiver or some kind of offensive weapon, because it's painful to watch them on offense, and the defense is so good.
As bad as the passing game is, the running game is so much worse for Houston. It is unbearable to watch, especially short yards. Dear God. But, you know, I think the Colts have transcended that AFC South conversation, and Ramon does bring a good point. Say they get the best record, in case he has to go indoor to Indy. If they have to go out to Kansas City in the cold or out to Buffalo in the cold, forget it. But I think that now we're talking about, I'm already giving them the AFC South. That's where I am with them.
Yeah.
I don't think that they can challenge Kansas City at the highest level in the AFC. Now, again, I didn't think they would be here at 6-1. They have so many weapons. They can throw everything at you. And if you have a great running back like Jonathan Taylor, you should be able to win any game. And their D-line has played great, too. So I just don't think I'm ready to talk about them like that.
You know, it's funny. I don't think of the Colts as being like a dome team, you know, because you got Jonathan Taylor, who obviously could be effective no matter what the weather. Daniel Jones played in cold weather in New York for those years. Now, did it go great all the time?
Yeah, did he play well?
Well, there was a lot of reasons why that team stunk.
Oh, guys, I got something to tell you guys.
But he's like not, it's not like, oh, he, you know, he's from Hawaii and you got a kid, he's going to be like Tua, where he's like looking up at the snow like he's never seen it before. Dude has played in cold weather before. Their defense is stout. Like, I don't know. I'm not that worried that they're not gritty or that the, there's some glamoury inside.
History,
you know.
History shows that indoor teams struggle on road playoff games. Always.
That's fair.
And just like, you, come on.
But
just
I look at the pieces and I'm like, why this doesn't look like this slick, you know, they couldn't win outdoors.
They're definitely, they're a big play offense. I mean, they're Alec Pierce shooting down the sideline full speed. I do think of them as really an offensive team. So that by nature, it's going to be hard to go into Buffalo and into KC. I'm assuming, by the way, it's Buffalo and not going into New England. So that's the other factor. But generally, they want to stay indoors. I understand what you're saying about the roster, but I think your blood gets used to the warm weather, Maggie. You know how it is. You moved, spend a week in California and come back to the East Coast, you're freezing. You just get used to the comfy lifestyle of the dome.
I don't know. Tom Brady wore a scuba suit under his uniform all those years. Why don't people just do that?
Well, it's a huge event because you get used to it. I mean, dome teams in the playoffs, watch out when they go on the road. It's never good. And even though they're not the Saints with Drew Brees, I understand what you're saying. That probably would not work well. They definitely want home field.
I mentioned a celebrity fan last night had an interesting photo that they put out on Twitter. EJ, do you have it? Because I can't find it for some reason. About all the jerseys that were in that shrine. EJ, you got that Brooke Lopez tweet, please? Or Robin Lopez, excuse me. Robin Lopez, massive Pearl Mariners fan.
How? Is he from L.A.? Famously.
With the Lopez brothers? Yeah. Didn't they play at Stanford?
Yeah, at Stanford High School, right? No. They were, I thought they were from L.A.
Anyway, massive Mariner fans. And Robin Lopez last night, I don't know why I can't find the photo right now. Massive Mariner fans. He's in Toronto last night.
Yep.
In one of those hotels that overlooks the field. So I kind of respect that you only couldn't even be in the stadium. You're like too nervous about it. Can you just read the jerseys that he had set up like right by the window of his hotel that overlooks the Rogers Center?
So he has a tweet which says, my view of Game 7, a makeshift uniform altar prayer circle in the hotel attached to Rogers Center. Seize the moment, # avenge Joey Cora. So speaking of those jerseys, you got Jay Buhner, Joey Cora, Edgar Martinez, Dan Wilson. I assume this is him when he was playing for the Mariners.
Yeah. What the hell did you trade Jay Buhner for?
This is interesting. A Lou Piniella jersey, which only can be the manager because he didn't play for the Mariners, if I'm mistaken.
No, he didn't.
Someone named Davis, who I'm not understanding, in a blue and yellow. I don't know who that is. And A-Rod.
It's a lot of jerseys, by the way.
Who's Davis 21? I'm trying to figure that. I was trying to figure that out. That was the only one I couldn't ID. This had to be like Paul Molitor era because it's blue and yellow. Unless there was a throwback maybe that a current team wore.
Who knows? Like they have so many.
That's obviously Mr. Mariner, Alvin Davis.
Alvin Davis. You're right. It is Alvin Davis.
I mean, that's a deep cut. I respect it. Here's the question. I have never seen somebody buy a jersey of a manager.
Yeah, you'll never catch me dead with an Aaron Boone jersey on.
Well, we know that, man, because you'd want to like tie cinder blocks around his ankles and throw him into the Hudson.
What if the manager was a player, too? It's a little different. Like,
well, that's why the Dan Wilson one I understood. But Lou
Piniella didn't play for the Mariners. Yeah.
I got to tell you, John Schneider, I would buy his jersey. That guy's a rock star, the Blue Jays manager.
Yeah, but would you really? If you're buying one jersey, wouldn't you buy a Vlad Guerrero jersey?
Yeah, or Springer. Like a Springer. Thompson jersey?
What's that?
Buying a Robbie Thompson jersey?
I just, yeah, right.
yeah.
I think everybody hates their manager.
Their manager.
Even the Dodgers fans hate their manager.
Oh my gosh, Dave Roberts, he's made more mistakes than anybody. They need $400 million to bail him out of these mistakes. I'm just saying, I can't.
All of it deferred.
I can't imagine buying a manager jersey. I'm just trying to think even through history, like, who?
I mean, Tommy Lasorda would be the only guy I could maybe see. We mentioned in the break. But even that, it's like, so you're going to do Tommy Lasorda and not like Fernando Valenzuela?
Yeah, or just it'd be
or
so.
Or Hershiser or Kirk Gibson. I don't know. There's.
Or now Shohei
there's
or
star
Mookie?
Players, right? Yeah. I mean, thinking about if you love that era, right? Like, if you love that era of Dodgers baseball, I'm like, okay, I get Lasorda was awesome, but You had players who were hitting big home runs and putting on historic performances. I can't imagine it. A Lou Piniella jersey is crazy.
Just any manager jersey. And Lou was an icon, obviously. But like,
that one doesn't feel so crazy to me. I don't know why.
Where's his Lloyd McClendon jersey? That's what I like to know.
How deep down the depth chart does this go? I mean, some of the famous ones, like an Earl Weaver, I guess, or like a, would you even want like a Jim Leland? Again, it's just, I'd have to get to so many players before I'd want to get to the manager.
Goes back to the Seattle Pilots. I wonder if he has any Pilots jerseys.
I mean, is there any shot you'd ever want a Joe Torre jersey? I mean, Joe Torre, legend, but like, people did not, they found a lot of flaws with Joe Torre's managing style, despite
like
all the winning.
He's like a sleeping dugout.
Exactly.
Sleeping Joe? Original Sleeping Joe?
Well, I mean, baseball managers too, like, I think casual fans couldn't name half of them because it's now, first of all, it's a GM league. There's sometimes a baseball manager's like, wait, who is this guy? Where is he from? Because there's such no names and they turn out to be good. But I want the no namest of all no names as my manager. Because like, if there's a guy who's a career minor
leader, don't worry,
like,
you have him. Well,
yeah, unfortunately, he's been there a little too long. But I'm just saying, like, that guy must be really smart because he was not a good player. That's why when Albert Pujols' name came up,
Pujols is definitely getting a job.
I'm like, well, he was like, he's a great player. He's not going to be a great manager. That's where my mind goes immediately. I'm like, give me Bobby Cox. Like, give me like some guy who.
Well, how about Don Mattingly? He's on the bench now for the Blue Jays. That's exciting.
Yeah, no, that hurts.
Wow.
That hurts the soul.
I mean, was he a great manager, though?
Well, I'm just saying. I'm trying to think of really great players who he's now managed.
I mean, he was a successful manager. They won a lot.
I mean, the NBA star goes back to coach's alma mater. It's the number one disaster of all coaches.
Never works.
Yeah, yeah, but generally, the better the player, the more questionable he'll be as a manager.
You think Pujols has a shot? So he already interviewed with the Angels, and he may interview with the Orioles if he hasn't already.
I think he's going to look at the Padres now, too.
And the Padres?
Is he not coaching for the Dominican Republic in the World Baseball Classic?
No, I think he is, and that's what got him these opportunities.
Yeah. Well, I can't wait for that.
Because you know that Dominican team is a bunch of scrap. I mean, they've probably got the best team in the world.
Yeah, they're really loaded.
I think the Japanese got something to say about
Japanese also.
Well, here's
Americans
the thing.
Americans aren't doing so bad.
Albert Pujols is like, just be like me. Go out there and hit 340 and 47 homers, and you'll be just fine.
Just
like,
be the machine. Just hit ball.
Yeah, what advice does he have for anybody? Nobody's as good as him. That's why I think these great players can't be managers.
Yeah, you can't just be like, just go hit a three-run home run.
Yeah, in this spot.
In the most highest leverage situation.
There have been some good players who have been good hitting coaches, though.
Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah, that I've seen, I feel like.
Who, Barry Bonds? That was like a joke, right?
No, but there have been guys who, I think Mark McGwire was a pretty good hitting coach whenever he, like, didn't Tommy Lasorda, Mark McGwire.
Oh, Mark McGwire.
When Lasorda brought him back, right? Didn't he do some stuff with the Cardinals?
Yeah, no, Mark McGwire sort of had a late career, late post-career renaissance. Everybody likes him now.
LaRussa, I'm sorry.
Yeah. I mean, was LaRussa, he must have been, was he a good player? I can't remember, must have been. This is a long time. Joe Torre was a great player, right? Believe it or not.
Catcher.
I think he won an MVP.
Here's a question for you. If you were going to buy any baseball manager jersey, who would it even be? That's off of Robin Lopez, noted Mariners
Ron
fans.
Washington.
Ron's got a history.
LA Angels Ron Washington jersey.
Oh, you got to go Rangers.
No, I want the obscure one of him managing the Angels for about 2 weeks.
So if you were to buy a manager's jersey, who would it be? 85-888. Hello, 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Come on into the chat, guys, youtube.com/InfinitySportsNet, twitch.tv/InfinitySportsNetwork. And I haven't said this in a while, SiriusXM channel 375. Someone asked me the other day what channel we're on, and I realized I haven't said it in about 2 weeks.
What are our names? 375, Allen Iverson.
It was John
Mickey
Elway.
Mickey Mantle, right? Is number seven?
I think we did Mantle, Elway, Reggie Bush.
Well, you got all the quarterbacks who are seven as well, but 375. Yeah.
Excuse me?
Oh, he said. Sorry.
How to remember we're on channel 375. But three is not Mickey Mantle.
There you go.
Seven is Mickey Mantle.
Yeah. That's what I meant, seven.
Yeah, yeah. But
three Iverson?
No, I think three was Babe Ruth.
And three is also Babe.
Well, right. But, you know, younger fans might know more AI than Babe.
I think they know about artificial intelligence more than they know about Allen Iverson.
Unfortunately.
888-710-4ISN. Question for you. Do you consider the Mariners a hard luck franchise, number one? You want to call your shot on the World Series. Anyone picking an upset? Dodgers are the favorite in this one. That's not a shock. And we'll get to more football with a Monday night doubleheader in just moments. It's the Maggie and Perloff Show.
All right, Maggie, first of all, I'm on fire. JSN, over 87 and a half yards.
You nailed it.
Helped me win on Prize Picks last night, but I'm so excited because we're in NBA season. And this isn't an official gift, but saying Luka Doncic at 47 and a half points, rebounds, assists, a hello. NBA is back, and it's going to be so much fun on Prize Picks. Right now, new users get $50 in bonus credit instantly in lineups when you play your first $5. The app is so simple to use. Just pick two or more players. Pick more or less on their stat projections, anything from TDs to threes. And if you're right, you could win big.
Yeah, I mean, how do you want to do this? You want to put Luka Doncic, you said the 47 and a half points, rebounds, assists. You want to go more than?
Definitely more than on that.
Okay, and then Manny, we're going to need your help on this one.
All right.
Martin Zubimendi, can you help me? 65 and a half passes attempted. Seems a little rich.
I don't know.
Go less than.
I feel like Martin's going to be in a passing mode tonight. Arsenal, by the way, Manny, if you knew your shocker.
Yeah, no, that's what I was debating on.
65 and a half passes attempted?
That's not bad.
I'm going less than on that one.
Oh?
Let's do it, guys. Prize Picks. We're obsessed around here. It's all we talk about, really. It's available in 40-plus states, including California, Texas, Florida, and Georgia. Come play along with us, and we promise you will be obsessed, too. How do you do this, Max? Well, easy. Download the Prize Picks app today. Use the code MMP. Get $50 bonus credit in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. That's code M&P to get $50 bonus credit in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. Prize Picks, it is good to be right. Must be present in certain states. Visit prizepicks.com for restrictions and details.
M&P.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, it's Lena Dunham. I host a podcast called The C Word with my dearest friend and historian of bad behavior, Alyssa Bennett.
What is up?
It's a chat show about women whose society is called crazy.
We're going to be rediscovering the stories of women's society dismissed by calling them mad, sad, or just plain bad.
Listen to and follow The C Word with Lena Dunham and Alyssa Bennett. Available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff. I mean, I'm not going to make this about me, but watching a Toronto Blue Jay hitting a homer, a key decisive homer in the seventh inning to left field, reminded me so much of Joe Carter. Even the swing kind of looked like Joe Carter last night. It does feel like there's something historical or magical or meant to be about this Blue Jays franchise right now. Will it last into the World Series? That's a different question. But I got to be honest, I like both those teams, the Mariners and Blue Jays. I'm sad that the Mariners had to go.
Yeah, Mariners lost last night. They had the lead 3-1 in the game, but George Springer's three-run home run in the bottom of the seventh inning turned everything, and he's the guy who's got the postseason experience. Yeah. He's the guy who has the postseason home run total, 23 now in the playoffs. I mean, whether you want to put an asterisk by it because of the Astros garbage can banging scandal, well, at this point, I think he's proven that he's the real deal. Now, you're right. They're significant underdogs against the Dodgers, but it doesn't mean they don't have a chance. By the way, the series starts in Toronto. Now, that didn't help them in the ALCS where they went down 0-2 and eventually came back. But they're going to need to really jump all over the Dodgers if they want to get in
this. Dodgers have been good on the road, too.
We're also asking you a question today, and EJ, can you throw it up on X also on Twitter at Maggie and Pearl? Robin Lopez, the basketball player, is a noted Mariners fan. So he was at the game last night in a hotel that overlooks the Rogers Center, which is really cool, with a shrine of jerseys, of Mariners jerseys, of days of past, trying to will his team to a win. And we noticed one of the jerseys was for Lou Piniella. Never seen someone buy a manager's jersey.
Yeah, normal people activities.
So he asked, what manager would you buy a jersey for? Here's Joe in San Francisco with a good one. What's up, Joe?
Hey, my manager's jersey would be Frank Robinson.
That's a great one. I mean, and it's legendary in a way that Lou Piniella is not. You know, Frank Robinson to be first African-American manager in baseball. I caught him at the very tail end when he was managing the very first season of the Nationals, and I was a stringer for the Associated Press. Now, I was in the opposing clubhouse as always, so I didn't get to be around him nearly as much as I would hope, but obviously he has an aura. Yeah.
The other thing is, that guy that had the Seattle stuff, he didn't have Ken Griffey Jr. jerseys. And Ken Griffey Jr. was the one that scored the winning run when they went to the World Series to play off the last time. That's why they lost. He cursed them.
Joe, not the last time they went to the playoffs, but we get the point. I know, there was no Griffey. He's got Jay Buhner. He's got Edgar Martinez. He's got A-Rod. I mean, Griffey should have been in this.
What the hell did you trade Jay Buhner for?
Davis got a jersey.
I know.
You could argue that having A-Rod was the real curse.
he won, Pearl. I know you like to dismiss it.
He didn't win in Seattle, though.
No, not in Seattle. Let's get to Bogish, who's got the latest and greatest. What's up, Bogish?
Guys, hello again. These headlines are sponsored by Progressive Commercial Insurance, protecting your business vehicles 24/7. See if you can save at progressivecommercial.com. Sometimes karma is the guy on the Chiefs coming straight home to you, and sometimes it's the guy whose injury you celebrated ending your baseball season.
1-0 pitch. Swing and a fly ball. Left field and deep. A Rosarena turns. Good! A Springer! Dinger!
At the best possible time for the Blue Jays, George Springer, the go-ahead three-run homer, bottom seven of game seven of the ALCS. It was just 2 games ago when Mariner fans booed and taunted Springer when he took a fastball off his knee, because that doesn't hurt. Now he is keeping them out of the World Series. The Jays winning game 7-4-3. After trailing 1-0 and 3-1, they were down 2-0 and 3-2 in the series. The recovery took everybody, says manager John Schneider.
You can look at the guys that are celebrating in here, and they've all helped us win. And there's guys that aren't here that have helped us win, you know, so... that part is really fulfilling. You know, there's some role players. There's some guys that got valuable experience last year in a down year that has paid off this year big time.
It does get a little tougher from here with the Dodgers coming to Canada for game one of the World Series on Friday night. The Lions had roughly half of their preferred defense for last night's visit from the Bucks, thanks to injury and a suspension. And they lost corner Rock Ya-Sin to a hamstring injury during the game, which brought this beauty from Troy Aikman.
You know, I don't know how these guys do it. I pulled a hamstring on a treadmill 2 years ago, and I haven't gotten back on one since. And, you know, for these guys to, you know, these are world-class athletes, and they're opening it up, and they're running wide open. And, I mean, I'm amazed, even with Mike Evans missing time, coming back. But you sure see a lot of these hamstring injuries.
Third down and eight.
Yeah, let's get back to the game. Third down and eight.
That was the 2-2.
That was glorious, by the way. That was favorite moment of the game last night, because what old person like myself did not relate to that story?
I actually thought Joe Buck had the better line, where he goes, and Troy Aikman goes, I'm surprised, you know, you're not out there running with your kids. He's got twins who are 7 years old. You run around with them, you're going to pull a hamstring. And Joe Buck goes, well, I guess you understand my level of involvement.
Yeah.
That was a pretty good line.
That was a great line.
By the way, the fact that Rock Ya-Sin got hurt, it was a big deal. Rock Ya-Sin, like what?
He was awesome in that game.
That guy hasn't been a viable NFL player in 5 years. And all of a sudden, he's the best player the Lions got. That just shows you where.
Great name, though.
Best name ever.
Oh, yeah.
Best ever?
I mean, Rock Ya-Sin. In the NFL right now. Rock Ya-Sin?
As a defensive back?
With the hyphen between Ya-Sin? That's amazing.
Rock Ya-Sin? Look over the middle, because I'm a Rock Ya-Sin.
He might have been. he might have been in college with our, I think he's a little too young, with our buddy Zach Gelb.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he was a big deal. I think
at
he went
Temple,
to Temple.
But
yeah.
I think Zach might be a little bit older than him.
Yeah, Zach famously went with Deion Dawkins, which led to one of the great injuries in the Maggie Perloff show history. Because we were at a Deion Dawkins charity kickball tournament, and it went badly.
Can an injury be great? Is that one of the great injuries? It was one of the horrible injuries that ruined EJ's whole summer.
I'd say that's right there with Joe Theismann in the history of injuries. It was a massive injury.
Take that as a compliment.
And with...
I pulled a hamstring on a treadmill two years ago. I haven't gotten back on one since.
And EJ hasn't played kickball since. And you should never play again.
Oh, never playing again. And never playing on turf. Doing anything on turf again.
I'm never playing kickball again. I don't think anybody listening, that sport is tricky.
Did you notice we didn't get invited back for the second one?
Oh, yeah, we did.
We did?
Yeah, Zach went back. He said, we're welcome to come.
Oh, I don't remember getting a text message like the first one.
No, first of all, we did not play very well. EJ was our best player, and when he went down, we were in big trouble.
Which is the first 30 seconds.
I thought Mr. Maggie was the best
player. Husband was he was unbelievable. He was a five-tool player on a kickball field. But EJ, we needed EJ.
I know. My husband ties that bandana around his head. All of a sudden, he turns into a different dude.
I actually have audio from the day that EJ hurt his knee.
EJ Julio Rodriguez, same. Honestly, you were technically in more pain than he was.
Oh, definitely. I also didn't really yell like that. I was pretty.
No, you were good. You knew something was wrong.
I knew I was done.
Yeah, you knew you were done.
I feel like EJ in our lineup, he was like the George Springer. He was a dependable guy. Your husband was a five-tool player. He was reminded me of Sean Green.
Is that right?
Yeah. Just uber talented.
Nice.
Had home runs in the game.
Yeah, no, that Sean Green was a baller. Yeah.
I remember.
But he's not a killer.
Oh, the attitude?
Yeah.
The speed power combo. The speed power combo is what I was thinking about. Oh, as far as the bandana, Charlie Steiner, running out of the
Follow
sports
me to freedom.
Center. Follow me to freedom. Yeah, what's your player comp for your husband?
Michael Jordan. It's a combination of Ken Griffey Jr. and Mickey Mantle all together.
Come over here. I love you.
All right, we have time for one more headline, guys. Get a hold of yourselves.
You buy time to come up with a perfect player comp. To not offend him, but to be accurate enough for radio.
Go ahead.
The other day you had like five or six names immediately for an obscure reference. You don't have a good husband comp yet?
What do you have to, I gave you the
Maggie's like
Ken Griffey, Mickey Mantle hybrid.
Congress here.
Yeah. Sheesh.
One more, huh? Remember when the Giants gave up 1,000,000 points in the fourth quarter and lost in Denver Sunday?
Yeah.
Maybe you should fire somebody, Brian Daboll?
No, I'm not considering that. But we all got to do a better job. Starts with me. And there's plenty of opportunities to finish that game the way we wanted to, and we didn't get the job done.
Damn it! The Jets, I'll remind you, lost in their own ugly way on Sunday. They might make a quarterback change because of that. Aaron Glenn said yesterday they are still figuring out if Justin Fields or Tyrod Taylor plays this weekend.
I can't feel my mouth.
Spoiler.
Yay for New York.
It might not matter. Tyrod Taylor got in the game, went 1-for-7 for like 5 yards. 888-710-4ISN. Bogus, thank you.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, it's Lena Dunham. I host a podcast called The C Word with my dearest friend and historian of bad behavior, Alyssa Bennett.
What is up?
It's a chat show about women whose society is called crazy.
We're going to be rediscovering the stories of women's society dismissed by calling them mad, sad, or just plain bad.
Listen to and follow The C Word with Lena Dunham and Alyssa Bennett. Available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Thank you so much. Coming up, lots more to do, including is another team making a mistake by not making a coaching change, and also LeBron James. Looks like it's open season on the superstar. Everyone coming out of the woodwork to criticize this dude. Are they in the right? It's the M&P Maggie and Perloff Show.
This portion of the show is brought to you by Ethos Life, the easy way to get life insurance in 10 minutes, up to $2 million in coverage with no medical exam, just a few health questions. Get your free quote at checkethos.com. Not available in all states. Oh, am I excited, and I'll tell you why. Not only is the NBA back, it's back on NBC.
Round Ball Rock?
Round Ball Rock!
Yeah, but see, here's the thing about Round Ball Rock. I love it, too.
Oh,
it reminds me of my childhood.
Full stop.
No, but they've been using it on college basketball now for a couple of years, and it always felt weird. It's like, it's the Atlantic 10 tournament coming to you from the Barclays Center. It's like, doesn't Richmond versus GW doesn't have the same. Yeah. It's a great song.
I do admit I'm a little confused. I went to the ESPN.com to see where the games were on tonight. It says NBC/Peacock. Does that mean it's on NBC?
It'll be on television. I looked it up yesterday.
Oh, okay. So, but there are many games that will not be on television. But anyway, it's a new world. It is going to be interesting. And we get the Lakers sans LeBron tonight.
Yeah, no LeBron. He's got that sciatica. So he's going to be out for a little bit. But it doesn't mean LeBron's not in the news. So Yaron Weitzman, who wrote a really good book about your Sixers pro called Tanking to the Top, has a new book out about the Lakers. And it's kind of like a little bit of a history of the Lakers, and then it's called A Hollywood Ending, The Dreams and Drama of the LeBron Lakers. And Yaron's going to join us on Thursday, actually, because he's been a good friend of the show, and there's a lot of news that's coming out of this book. Now, the latest is actually about Russell Westbrook, who we know signed with the Sacramento Kings, so he's still hanging on. And it turns out that Russell Westbrook had, like, real issues with LeBron James, which is interesting because I know it ended badly in L.A., but remember, LeBron is the one who stumped for Russell Westbrook. Yep. And, in fact, like, almost forced that trade. It was a draft night trade where Russ was coming from the Washington Wizards at the time. Now, you hear that headline, it's pretty juicy, right? Russell Westbrook has problems with LeBron James, saying that he was fake, that LeBron was fake. Quote, I hate that fake bleep. I just can't do it. So you're like, all right, well, now you got my interest.
Damn.
Yeah, you got my interest. Then you look through a bit of the laundry list of things that Russell Westbrook found unlikable about LeBron.
LeBron James.
Gonna be honest, like, a little flimsy here.
All right. Well, some of them sound pretty legit to me.
No, it's just obvious. The first one, and there's a couple bullet points here. The first one is that LeBron was quietly pushing for a reunion with Kyrie Irving, a move that would have required trading Westbrook, despite publicly denying it. No kidding, dude. Like, this is why he's upset, is because LeBron wanted him gone. And by the way, he eventually got you up out of there. What did you think he was going to say publicly? Like, that would kill any trade value, and he didn't have any anyway.
Well, that does explain Westbrook's frustration, though, because that's how you create a resentment in the NBA.
I know, but it's just so obvious and petty that the rest of the list kind of, like, it's like, okay, you were just upset because LeBron wanted you traded. Here's another one. LeBron often said, let Russ be Russ in interviews, but didn't actually support him behind the scenes. You couldn't hit the ocean from the beach, man. Like, that one I can't kill LeBron for. It's another thing about LeBron acting a little phony to Will Smith, the actor, in a meet and greet.
That story was funny, though.
But, like, it's Hollywood, man. Who do you think is actually having genuine interactions?
I don't know. That image of LeBron James doing a Q&A and asking, the whole thing had some creep to it. You have to admit, when you read that, you're like, ugh. There was a lot of negativity in that story.
What about Will Smith?
I don't know. Yeah, LeBron and Will Smith. There's a reason that LeBron had an issue. This was probably because of he's probably friends with Chris Rock, you know.
Yeah, I don't even know if this was before or after the Oscars.
Oh, I assumed.
I'm not even sure. I just think LeBron was acting phony to Will Smith.
It's got to be after the Oscar. I assume that's why LeBron and AD were having issues with Will Smith. I don't know. That whole story sounded okay. Keep going. But I just want to say that Russ Westbrook is, while I don't love him as a player, is the most, like, authentic dude there is.
Taco Tuesday.
And he's not a hypocrite.
Okay, but here,
LeBron is like known for his hypocrisies.
I know, but you're grasping at straws here. Like, come on, you're really gonna like poke holes in one of the greatest players of all time because we all know. Yes, he didn't watch The Godfather. He claimed he did. It's not a high crime, everybody. It's cringy. It's cringy, that's all. And he said that he would carry around the autobiography of Malcolm X, and the fact is that he didn't actually read it, or that's the allegation, saying he predicted Kobe's 81-point game. Like, yeah, okay. Guys, like, he's not a bad dude just because he's got some cringy behavior.
I think you could let LeBron off the hook a little bit. Like, I do think with the Russell Westbrook thing particularly, just if you remember that time, there was a lot of smears against Russell Westbrook in terms of him as a teammate, him as a player. Now, he was a bad player for Lakers, so that maybe wasn't so much smearing, but
he stunk.
He's got his guys calling him a vampire. Like, they were, it was intense for Westbrook, and he, in some ways, made that situation uncomfortable with a lot of the leaks that were getting out about Westbrook at that time. So if he has resentment towards that, to Perloff's point, I think that's totally fair. I mean, that's him, right? As a fan on the outside, we can have one perspective, but for him, if that's your teammate, and he's saying that this is the guy that he said he wanted to bring him there, and then he said, actually, no, I didn't want to bring him here. You guys keep saying I didn't, when he's lying. Like, yeah, I would feel a way too.
Well, oh, have mercy, man.
Listen, LeBron did bring him there because they could have had, who was it? Was DeMar DeRozan?
Yeah, I think. And then LeBron now says, oh, I didn't bring him there.
Okay. Well, but meanwhile, he rescued him from the obscurity of Washington, D.C. Unless Russ wants to put up 30 points on a team that's going to win 17 games. If that's what you're about. Okay. Well, then you're not about winning and brought him back to his hometown.
Well, I mean, okay, let's be honest about LeBron. Underpinning all this is LeBron started to become controversial, not about the decision, but when he became politically outspoken.
Okay.
And he turned a lot of people who weren't on his side of the aisle against him. So that's why then, but the problem, I think, is then LeBron rushes to be corporate partners with any corporation he can find. So people are like, well, you know, you're preaching on one hand, but then you really are all about money on the other. So there are like, where Michael Jordan, to his credit, is saying, like, was asked, are you a Republican or Democrat? He said, both parties buy shoes. So Jordan, who we know is an incredibly flawed individual, stayed out of, like, had a way of keeping out of the fray, where LeBron, to his credit, has always been in the fray. And I think that's why LeBron bothers a lot of people. Although that, you know, I totally agree with you, Baggy, it's all petty, but I do understand, like, there's a lot, you know, LeBron is a polarizing figure. That's all fine. I'm saying. You know, that's true.
Okay. But none of these things that Russell Westbrook is talking about with him being fake have anything to do with that. And by the way, like, listen, everyone can feel how they want. You wade into politics, you know, you're going to have people who love you and people who hate you, but I would just dare everyone and anyone, find someone who doesn't have some type of hypocrisy. Find somebody who doesn't have some type of thing you can call out. I support this. I don't support this. Well, do you support that? Well, do you support that? Which is why a lot of people stay the hell out of it. I get it. But LeBron decided to go in on one side. He also started a school for kids in Akron that's been wildly successful. So, yeah, he's going to take shoe money from China. And then he's also going to do charity things at home. This is the, like, inconsistencies that a lot of famous and rich people deal with. Does he do more good than he does harm? I guess is where I would probably put it. It doesn't seem like the guys out here are actively doing harm, which is why if he's going to be fake to Will Smith, who cares?
Well, because
that is so lame of Russell Westbrook to actually have an issue with that.
But I just think that what you're saying, I just don't agree with. If you're so easily a petty liar, then people are going to think, well, the big stuff might be non-genuine too. That's what I think the vibe is. I mean, you might as well be a politician because they lie about everything and you don't trust them. You know, politicians lie, and those little lies, politicians and college football coaches lie, and those little lies lead up. Yeah, I mean, I think the little lies matter in the sense of, like, oh, do I really trust this guy? Now, these are ridiculous. And I'm on Team LeBron in this one because I was not a fan. They should have signed DeRozan. That was LeBron's major mistake. They need a shooter to compliment him, not a playmaker. Anyway, that's besides the point.
Yeah, and listen, I just, again, you just might not like him.
And that's true.
And obviously, he and Russell Westbrook were just like bad colleagues, obviously. This, like, it's workplace stuff where you're annoyed by every little thing. It's that book, Who Moved My Cheese? You know, this is workplace drama that we all hear about.
Nobody else works with LeBron James, though. It's not Bill down the hall.
But he might as well be. Maggie Perloff Show. Let's do baseball next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, it's Lena Dunham. I host a podcast called The C Word with my dearest friend and historian of bad behavior, Alyssa Bennett.
What is up?
It's a chat show about women whose society is called crazy.
We're going to be rediscovering the stories of women's society dismissed by calling them mad, sad, or just plain bad.
Listen to and follow The C Word with Lena Dunham and Alyssa Bennett, available now wherever you get your podcasts.